just wanted to add to a few things. So, first of all, ladies, a very good presentation, very understandable. I hear it in the room from all my colleagues, counselors, that they're sort of on your side here, but I see clinches in the agreements, whatever, and I think they can be all worked out. I think down the road we'll see maybe something happening. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, going back to what our CAO is saying, I believe this, how do we, are we doing this as a separate entity, or are we bringing the recreation strategy coming into it together? I look at all of our communities, such as, I'm from up Northway, so I understand the complexities of out there. But as we know, things have changed over the years, and that's what's caused our, we've seen people like Greenfield who do things totally different than everybody else, because they have their community hall and they work with that, and they kind of built a system that works. It works out there. In Liverpool, they do things differently. Out in Caledonia, they do things differently. To get things that you could be able to make, like for instance, you have your baseball with the co-ed baseball. We've lost our softball and everything in there. We don't have softball in Liverpool. How do you get those things back? Where you get that coordinated, that people can get up and have fun and enjoy that, because we've lost those things. We've lost the coordination of those type of things, and where some people have some things, some other groups have other things. I think the pilot project of what you could be able to bring forward and try to bring forward there is a good thing. So you can get things so it becomes a system that we can all try to work on, that we're all doing things differently. And we need to be able to look at things, not just looking at this as North Queens, but be able to look at, say, what worked out there? This year, when you did your pilot project, what worked out there? How did it work? I think pickleball, I don't think pickleball is working there because somebody's tried it and it failed, but it works great in Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And so why does one work in one spot? Why does it not work in the others? And how do we, what's that missing link that we can be able to try? So in that way, a pilot project is great to give that boost to try to go forward and see where we go. Mm-hmm. So.
In hearing, in connecting with the community, we know that all of the ingredients exist in the community for great things to happen with Parks Canada and all of the amazing community organizations who are working to address seniors' issues and food insecurity and things like that. So this is really about developing a mechanism where we can bring all of those ingredients together to see a long-term sustainable impact. To improve the quality of life and well-being of everyone in the community. And to the comment about the rec strategy around a one-off or delaying till we have a strategy, I haven't been a close part of the renewal process, but I do know that all of the notes from all of the community consultation meeting minutes are posted publicly. So we've used the notes from the North Queens community meetings to inform our proposal. So whether this is something that does get passed as a before the physical activity strategy or afterwards, I'm confident in saying that what we're proposing is very aligned to what residents are asking for and what's been documented. So either way, it should work to bolster the broader goals of the Region of Queens around physical activity and health promotion.
I have Deputy Mayor Kelly next.
Thank you. Hi. As I listen to your presentation, there's a few things, comments that I want to make and a couple of points. But first I want to ask you the one question. What is the major stumbling block between you forming a not-for-profit on your own and hiring somebody with the money from the provincial government and fundraising and support from the Region of Queens and having a Region of Queens staff member?
I think with a not-for-profit, you're relying again on community members, as Lindsay said, that change. There's 10 community members, for example, who do a lot of the work. And as they move on to other projects, you lose that sustainability. You also lose some of the momentum. I can give you an example. We have great fundraising committees, not-for-profit, that set up playgrounds and things like that. And as their children move on, their passion for it moves on, and the committee wanes, and things fall apart. When it's a member of a formal organization, whether I'm here or Brian Smith was here as my predecessor, there's a position here that supports it. So you have that formal support that keeps it going. It doesn't matter if it's a different coordinator or a different supervisor, you still have that sustainable support from a formal organization. And I think that's the most important component.
So what I see and what I see in many communities around Queens County is the passion of the people that are in the community to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key component here. And a number of things that we've seen over the years in the region of Queens is that, because we've had staff members programming in all communities around Queens County, that the reason why we are in the position we are now and the reason why we have a community investment fund is because we found that communities do it better than the region of Queens can do it. We support through the community investment fund to allow those projects to go ahead, such as the support for the region of, or for the North Queens is the beach volleyball, is the hub, is the skateboard park, is the swimming pool. Supporting all of those functions in the community, all of those recreational infrastructure in the community. And it's the passion of the people in the community that keep that keeps that going on their own. And forming your own not-for-profit and having hiring your own community member, because then that's all about you guys and how you control it and what your committee or your board sees fit to do with that by hiring a community, and you can hire them from whoever you want and from wherever you want. Two fundamentals here are the fact that if the region of Queens hires another staff member, that directly goes to the bottom line of our tax base. Every taxpayer in Queens County pays for that coordinator. It's a region of Queens staff person. Also that region of Queens staff person will have to be hired based on the best person for the job or who they have applied for that job. You can't hire somebody because they live in Caledonia or because they live in North Queens, and you can't tell them, well, how you, if you move to North Queens. So that person may not actually be a part of your community. So that is a possibility as well. So having the region of Queens hire somebody may not actually align with what your objectives are for this program.
I think it would align if there were a full partnership, for certain, because with a full partnership you have the community advisory group that has people from the SRC, has people from the municipality, has community members, has counselors sitting on it. So it's a broader partnership. Yes, we're aware that you can't pick someone. Living in a community is not a valid job qualification. We understand that. But I think having an office and having a presence somewhere in that community on a daily basis provides accessibility for people who are interested in running programs or who are interested in talking about ideas. So it's the accessibility piece, but we understand there's limitations with anything you do. We're trying to make the strongest model possible.
So in the past, with all of the activities that the Region of Queens has organized for North Queens and organized for South Queens and throughout the Region of Queens, finally came to the decision that it doesn't work that way. And our staff put a lot of time and effort into coming up with the community investment fund, which directly addresses what you're trying to do in North Queens. Providing funding so that you can implement what you need in your community, what everyone can implement in their communities. Now recently, and just one other question too, is everything that the coordinator provides at the North Queens School going to be free?
I don't understand the question. What
the
do you
programming
mean?
At North Queens, do you have to pay to walk? Do you have to pay to play floor hockey? Do you have to pay to do yoga? Do you have to pay to do any of those programs within the school?
There's typically a nominal fee associated with them, which covers your cost of having supervision if you have night programs, if you choose, things like that. But that's a decision based on the program. In some of the other schools we have, they do a combination of free programming and then they do a nominal fee program that covers the cost. It's to make it inclusive, not exclusive, so that it's affordable, but also, again, sustainable.
Because recently there was a, just one more, recently I noticed that there was a call for somebody wanted to do yoga and at the hub, I believe it was. They've had yoga classes subsidized, I think last year or earlier this year, a program to see if anyone was interested. And they've got great involvement in that, but I don't think that that carried on. There was no sustainability for that because it's now no yoga classes there. And there's another one that came out recently to try to get yoga classes going at the hub again, and it didn't go ahead because nobody wanted to sign up for it.
No, it is going on right now.
Is it going? There are
yoga
classes.
There's a fee, and it can range from $10 to $12, $13 a week, which is a reasonable price, but it's out of the price range for lots of residents of the community. And yes, we do have a lot of resources, and they've been run by the volunteers already, and we're in this situation because we haven't been able to build that coordinated approach. It's a lot of the same people, and when their kids are of a certain age, they're gonna throw themselves into it. And Sheila is amazing, and this beach volleyball, it's new and exciting, it's great. If Sheila doesn't do what she does next year, then we've got a court, but we don't have that coordination. So let's think of, okay, who are the youth that we need to be supporting in their development so that they can be the leaders next year. So it's the bigger overall court, because it's not happening now. And I know communities know their community best, I totally get that. And as an individual, I've done lots of organizing over the last year, and I've got a bunch of people out, but I'm not getting everyone. I've gotten a certain number, but we can't expect everyone to be able to organize and facilitate and get the grant to provide the program that they need, that meets their needs. Mm-hmm. So it's having a bigger vision of who are we missing, because not everyone can make that happen for themselves. And
I think the Community Investment Fund, to your point, is an amazing resource that has been recently restructured or redeveloped to support community groups. And when we look at North Queens and look at the unique factors around the physical environment and the the facilities that they currently have, just providing money to not-for-profits alone is not sufficient to the broader population health outcomes that we're looking for. And that was echoed in the North Queens Physical Activity Strategy Renewal Community Consultation. So one thing that came forward was enhanced communication, which speaks to Lindsay's point that these individual groups with enhanced communication and partnership development can best reach everyone in the community and facility access. So by just having providing funding to a not-for-profit organization doesn't address the issue of lack of access to facilities to actually run those programs. And so that's something that would be unique to this partnership model to address that unique barrier for North Queens.
Can I have one more follow-up?
Very short.
I do understand that, and I understand I belong to a lot of not-profit groups, and we always dream of having a coordinator fundraising. Some do have coordinators. It definitely is something that makes it sustainable and creates a sustainability. But that's all I'm saying here is that you have the passion, you have the ability to create that sustainability within yourselves, and the difference is between whether you provide that yourself in the community with a coordinator, or whether the Region of Queens in partnership pays for a staff person to be that coordinator for you. And that is the main difference here, because it can be done either way. I just believe that the other way is probably more sustainable than through the Region of Queens.
Councilor Fraley?
I'm a big fan of having a plan B, and this, as I said before, is an exciting project, and I really would love to see it go forward. But I also need to understand what would happen if it doesn't go forward, because clearly you have passion, you have, you know, a community that really wants it. So I just have a question about what do the other, like you've listed Yarmouth, Shelburne, and Chester. Obviously there's more groups doing this with different partnerships. Is that why you listed these three? Because simply because they have municipal support?
Yeah, so these are three examples of municipalities and school districts in this part of the province who have those formal partnerships,
right,
and are seeing significant benefit to the community.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there obviously other schools or other projects similar to this that are in place that just don't have municipal support? Is that correct? Or that you know of?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a better question to the Department of Communities, Culture, and Heritage, who has a better sense of that. I work
right.
more on Lunenburg County and Queens County.
Oh,
okay. So, we've used the documentation and had conversations with partners who've been willing to share their formal agreements with us.
Right.
But I can't speak to every single one across the province.
Okay.
Yeah.
So clearly, it's a brilliant project. Clearly not everybody gets the buy-in from municipalities for whatever reason. So plan B would be to what? To explore other options? Talk to some of these communities that have it in place? Is that a...
We would like to...
I understand totally
what you're
doing and
mm-hmm.
really want to see it go forward, but it's just like, what is the plan B? And just one more question about like the funds. Because you're looking at, and I kind of calculated about 14,000 from the region, and then you get that matched by Community and Heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Community
mm-hmm.
Heritage. So, but that seems more than what your need. Is there other things that I'm missing here? That if you just pay for a coordinator, everything else is donated as far as office and other things that you need to get the program started? Is that why the full amount?
So that amount, so we, in our research, we looked at what the salary range is for people who are doing community coordination of schools and physical activity promotion work across the province.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a wide range depending on the size of the population that they serve. So we kind of took an average and divided that in half in terms of what a 50% salary would look like. With a little buffering on either side for things like mileage and other expenses to be worked out in partnership with the region.
So the full amount, and I'll just round it off to 30,000, would be strictly for salaries?
What we've accounted for, the salary, the estimated 50% salary would be within a $20,000 to $25,000 range.
Okay.
Again, we didn't feel comfortable saying that this is what the person has to make when we know that this is a partnership, so that wouldn't be fair. plus or minus any HR administrative costs and things like mileage.
Okay, great, thank you.
Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, I go back as we look at this as a pilot project. I think it's a great thing because so many things do work in different groups, but what happens is we've lost our volunteers. This is the whole thing why we wouldn't be here if we would never. We had our volunteers that were out there working, doing the things as we used to do years ago. We've lost that, so you've got to give a kickstart to get things going. Like my son goes up to Lockport and plays pickleball. They got a great bunch of people. They had 15, 20 people come up to pickleball, 600 and some community. So it was a matter of getting it started, to get it going, where it can be self-operating. It can do things. Years ago, I did the ground hockey over to Milton with the kids because my son was at that age. Well, they still do it because you start something that continues to flow once you get it going, and that's
mm-hmm.
what's the hard thing of getting something started to get it so it will sustain itself, so it can be self-operating,
mm-hmm.
basically, and people like Ivan and Higgins, who started the badminton a few
you walked away from it, can we still run? We could do volleyball things, but those are the things, it's a kickstart to get it going, because we don't have that group that's there anymore. Those people who will work at it and things like that. So I think a pilot project for that reason only would be a great thing, to get those things kickstarted, to get people out to do some things. I mean, it's going to be great, there's going to be opportunities further on down, like age-friendly grants for seniors and things to be able to
exactly.
do this. And that
mm-hmm.
person that's coordinating can look at those grants to be able to use those to be able to go further. So if you actually just got the money from there, you can look at all the grants that's around above to continue for that year in particular to get some things kickstarted.
Councilor McLeod?
This is meant to be a one-year pilot project, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's your discovery time, if it works, how it works, using the model that you have presented to us today.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's all about sustainability. So in that 1 year, if you have your staff person from the Region of Queens support, then that will give you a one-year opportunity to see how well it works. And I think that's the way to go with this project. Regarding Deputy Mayor Kelly's comments about our community investment fund resources that's available, I don't believe that fund was meant to be an ongoing continuous support for programs for organizations. I think it was meant to support organizations and individual projects, whatever. I don't think it was meant to support salaries or wages for an ongoing thing. So really, that really isn't an area, unless you become a not-for-profit, and then you have to apply every year for funding. And that does not work. It's not worked in the past, and it's not worked, and it won't work in the future to have to continue to go back and look for funding so that a program continues. Most times, they don't continue because you've got to compete for your monies to support that program. So I really, I like your pilot project idea, and it's worked in the past for many other communities and other organizations that have an idea, and they want to try it and see if it works. And if it does, then you can put your other plan of action together, and it's proven to the community and to the funding support people that it will work, and that's basically what your community needs, and that's basically how it would work.
Mm-hmm. Any other councillor has a comment or a question at this point? Well, hearing none, I have one. The partnership agreement that was provided earlier, are you proposing changes to that partnership agreement, or are you asking that partnership agreement to stand as presented?
So when we presented in April, we had drafted a joint use agreement, and through our meetings with region staff and yourself, there was a few items in that that were areas of concern. And so we brought that back to the Regional Center for Education, and they are open to developing a partnership agreement with joint input. So the joint use agreement that we brought forward in April is by no means what has to be the agreement that we have moving forward.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have no other questions, and certainly councillors were very happy to have their questions answered by you today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an excellent presentation, and I think all of council and staff in the Region of Queens are supportive of furthering recreational abilities and physical activity in North Queens. It's a matter of exactly what delivers that program and how best to do it. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
To 5.0, tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Under 6.0, we have public question and comment session. This is an ability for members of the gallery to provide some comments. Please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, please.
Mayor, Leon Robertson, County Chief of the Pool. That presentation was very good this morning from the public group, and I would certainly suggest that council continue to work with him and support the project, and hopefully we'll have a way next year. Under 13.2, candidate celebrations, it's good to see that recommendation there, and I certainly ask that council support it. It would be nice to see activities, local activities on candidate and fireworks and so on. In the past, there's been a lot of comments from people, well, gee, we'd like to do their own candidate, so take that under advisement if you do, Mr. Mayor. And one other thing, I noticed, and I'm sure you got this looked after, the council meeting in December, this one that would normally be on December 24th. I doubt we have it that day.
I doubt that too, Leon. And
thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That will be coming out for notification.
I'm sure,
the public,
yes.
As well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other member of the gallery? Livestock on properties is controlled under the Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw, and that is where that activity would be controlled. It would not be controlled under dangerous and on-site.
Okay. Does it say there is an acre of property to accommodate per animal?
There is a various number of animals in different areas permitted under that Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw. I believe the issue to which you're referring is presently known to staff, and staff will be looking at issues as you speak in the very near future.
This cattle are back at 465 Highway 8 Noble, and we're just wanting to let you know.
And I thank you for that today. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Well, thank you all for your comments. We will now move on to 7.0, approval of minutes. 7.1, minutes of the regular council meeting for November 12th, 2019. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes as circulated would be in order. Moved by Deputy Mayor Kelly, seconded by Councilor Fraley. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? Councillor Johnson?
My discussion item is some clarity. Excuse me, at the last council meeting, I believe we had the discussion as to who can and cannot vote on approval of the minutes, whether you had attended the previous. Can I approve a set of minutes if I did not attend the meeting? Because many times, as you know, I'm a bit absent.
And I do understand the ramifications of your questions, and the converse of that would be if you were not here at the meeting, could you abstain and therefore cast a no vote against the motion minutes? So I would ask the CAO if you'd like to clarify that for the record.
The motion before you is approving the minutes as presented, and so you're present today. And so as a member of council, you have a choice to either accept the minutes as presented, recognizing you read them, you don't see anything out there that looks out of the ordinary, there's no anomalies, no member of council has raised any issues for other members of council that were present at the meeting. So you certainly are required to vote if you're present, and so you either vote in favor, or if you abstain, it's a negative, which is required under the Municipal Government Act. So the fact that you're not present is not relevant to the motion today. The motion today is that you're approving the minutes as they're presented to you today.
You know, my presence was, okay, we're approving the minutes from 2 weeks ago. If I was not present at that meeting, am I still eligible to vote today, not knowing what happened in those proceedings?
Not only are you eligible, you're required under the Municipal Government Act. If you don't, if you're in the room and you don't vote in favor of it, then you're deemed to be voting in negative.
Okay, that's so it's just different from what I was led to be believed over the last couple of years.
Yes. And so it's, if you look at the bigger picture, so if we appoint people to committees, and once in a while those committees change, and so the people that were on that committee on day one might be different than on day two, but the people that are on it day two have to vote to approve the minutes from the meeting they weren't at. After every council change, every election, there's always approved from minutes from beforehand. And so a whole new council has to approve those minutes from the previous council. Like, many of them may not have been there, but they still have to approve those minutes.
Okay. No, just clarity. That's all I need to know, because I don't want to sit here and not vote if I'm expected to vote.
And thank you, Councillor Johnson, for raising that. And now it's on our record. Hopefully that clarifies it for all members of council. So any other comments or questions on this issue of minutes? Hearing none, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We have nothing today under 8.0 corporate services. Nothing today under engineering works. Under 10.0 finance, we have 10.1 transition of current employee pension plan, the public services superannuation plan, and our director of finance, Jennifer Keating Hubley, is at the presentation desk. Who would like to take the lead on this recommendation? Councillor Johnson?
Okay. I'd like to excuse me, recommend that the council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the negotiation of a transfer agreement with the Nova Scotia Public Service Superannuation Plan Trustee Incorporated, which would allow the transition of the pension plan for employees of the Region of Queens Municipality to the Nova Scotia Public Service Superannuation Plan, and this process commence immediately.
Seconded for that, Councillor Fisk. Jennifer, would you like to give us a brief update on this?
So we had a number of presentations, and a wealth of information was presented to us by Eckler. So to recap, we were looking into what the options may be for the Region of Queens Employees Pension Plan. Based on having heard our plan and our investments and our assets, we're doing fine. It was sustainable, we were holding our own, and everything was fine with that. However, the Pension Act has made some changes. So coming down the pipe, the pension plan has made changes to the regulation, and we know that those changes will adversely affect our plan. The PSSP plan, the superannuation plan for the province, is exempt from those new rules, so they won't incur those additional costs that our plan would be facing. So we began the investigation of what that transfer would look like and moving the Region of Queens employees plan into that provincial plan. We have that security of numbers. That PSSP plan has over 17,500 contributing members, whereas our plan has only 78 active contributing members. So cost increases faced by either plan would be minimal for the spread over that number of employees contributing in the PSSP plan versus a handful of employees in the Regions plan and those substantial costs having to be spread over a small amount of people. So this PSSP plan has a lower contribution rate for both the employees and the employer at 8.4% versus the Region of Queens plan being a 9.8% contribution rate for the taxpayers in the Region of Queens as the employer and an 8.8% contribution rate for the employees. The PSSP plan has the ability to improve benefits. The Region of Queens plan hasn't had that option for a number of years based on having to fund the solvency liability to a certain percentage. We've not had the opportunity to increase benefits at any point for the last number of years, and since moving our contribution rates to a rate that was sustainable back in 2009. So the pensioners who were on the Region of Queens pension plan have never seen any kind of indexing, so no increases to the pension benefits that they were drawing, whereas the PSSP plan has built into their funding scenario certain options for increasing and indexing for CPI based on plan performance, pensioners' benefits. So I've been monitoring the investments as we've been going along here during this whole research investigation process, and the performance of both portfolios has been doing well. So the investment portfolio and the market has been performing well. There was some concern because the PSSP plan had done their own calculations, so their actuaries did the calculations for the Region of Queens assets in their plan to see what it would look like for us to buy into their plan, for everyone to have a year-for-year, one-for-one service earned, and the benefits earned to date for the Region of Queens plan bought in
to the PSSP plan. Our asset portfolio is substantial and of enough of an amount to fully buy us in without any additional cost to the Region of Queens and the operating budget for the employer. So that was great. We didn't know that that's what that was going to look like in the beginning. As the market has been performing, as I said, both markets have been performing really well over the last year and since we began this investigation process. So because we've been performing equally, we still have that opportunity. Our asset base of $12 million is still enough to buy everyone in fully earned for their service earned and their years of service earned. So the recommendation then going forward was to hold the member vote. We have done that, and the positive response was overwhelming. So we have a vote now of 84 votes cast, and the vote was 83-1 members in favor of proceeding with this transfer. So having brought that information forward and having the members in the plan overwhelmingly in positive, very positive response for this transition, we're now looking to council to approve that we negotiate our transfer agreement. As we go forward, Eckler will be negotiating the transfer agreement with the PSSP plan, and all the conditions that we've discussed throughout these multiple meetings and communication sessions that we've had, all of the conditions, those year-for-year service and the earned benefits to date, will be part of that negotiation, will be part of the conditions that are to be met in that transfer agreement. So now we are looking for council to approve that we go forward and proceed with that transition agreement negotiation.
Any questions or comments of councillors at this point? Councillor Fancy?
Just a couple small little things. The indexing that you talked about, well, of course it isn't a built-in indexing, but it's saying that if it's performing well, that the indexing can be the, what happens if you have a really bad year? Does that in any way adversely affect the pension?
So the PSSP plan is managed by a board of trustees, so there's an independent board of trustees, and their responsibility is solely to manage the plan, and there's a certain amount of expertise and education for those board members on that board of trustees. And so their plan text and their documentation for their plan sets out certain criteria. So the market and their investment portfolio must perform in a certain way, and when it does, the indexing for the pensioners is built in. So they're obligated, when the market performs in a certain way, to provide indexing to their pensioners. There is an obligation, of course, with the Pension Act and the Pension Act regulations, that certain market performances and certain liabilities must be funded. So there is a possibility, if the market performs very, very poorly, that the Board of Trustees will then have to make the recommendation that contribution rates change, because the investment in the pension and the liability, insolvency liability of that
right.
pension must be funded to a certain amount.
Yeah.
That's in the Pension Act.
Right.
So there may be a time in the future that Board of Trustees must recommend that contribution rates are increased, and that would be for both employee and employer. However, when we saw the presentation and the information presented by Eckler, again, you have 17,500 members, so cost increases spread over that many contributing members would be minimal. And the current contribution rates of the plan have a buffer in them. The Region of Queens plan had a substantial buffer, and what I referred to before as special payments had a substantial buffer in it for quite a while, which has dwindled over the years. However, they still have a 4.4% buffer in their rates, so there's still an opportunity, even if the markets do perform poorly, that the contribution rates will remain at the 8.4% because of that buffer that they have in their rates right now.
The other part I like about it is the I think it was 80 or whatever you think they used, the age and the years of service.
Age plus years of service.
Yeah, so you can be able to retire earlier.
If you were an employee of the Region of Queens prior to 2010, or anyone in the PSSP plan, your years of service plus your age equaling 80 allows your unreduced pension benefits, 85 if you were an employee after 2010. And that is, again, that was a benefit that was previously in the region's plan quite a while ago, well, 30 years of service and out, so regardless of age, which we had to take out of the benefits at the time when we stabilized the contribution rates for the rate stability going forward in 2009. We did remove the 30 and out rule, but this plan does have that rule of 80, yes.
Thank you, Councillor Fancy. Any other councillor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Unanimous. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks so much.
We have nothing today under 11.0 recreation and community facilities. Nothing under 12.0 planning. Under reports 13.0. We have 13.1 NSFM convention report. Deputy Mayor Kelly, would you like to take that?
Thank you. Yes, again, this year at the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities Fall Conference 2019, held November the 5th to the 8th in Halifax. Basically, this is, for those who don't know, this is basically the AGM of the NSFM. We take this opportunity to renew or restate resolutions, statements of municipal concern, and again this year, and as talk has been up to the conference, in that with regional meetings that were held, is that resolutions would be held over from the previous year. In that, thinking behind that is that every year we come up with five new resolutions, and the previous resolutions have not been resolved. So, great idea and overwhelming support for this. So basically, our resolutions carrying forward are removing the cap on property assessment, implementing extended producer responsibility, addressing inadequacies in funding levels and formula for municipal funding, acting to bring legislation to enable municipal modernization, including new governance and collaboration models, and funding for roads, including equitable funding for towns and former towns for shared arterial and collector, and increased funding for J-class roads in the 2019 budget or before. The only change was to the statement of municipal concerns, which were brought forward, which are municipal responsibilities, policing, surplus schools, sustainability, and infrastructure support funding. We added to that climate change. And the agreement was that once one of the resolutions has been fully resolved, one of the statements of municipal concern will take over that position in the top five resolutions. This was the first year that I think, after only being my fourth one attended or third one attended, was that I saw real change in how NSFM were proceeding on these issues. They're close to having, closer than ever, on CAP and extended producer responsibility, actually just having conversations on those particular items, and we see those things moving forward and having genuine conversations on working with the government to try to resolve these issues with the municipalities. Mayor Pamoud from Mayor of Yarmouth took over as our elected chair of NSFM. I'm sure she'll do a great job, and I've seen a lot of her all over social media already for that. Bill Karsten, president of the FCM, we've heard a lot from Bill since he took over as president last year, or earlier this year at FCM, and he's been carrying out some great work. And basically the message he's putting across and the Federation of Canadian Municipalities is that in dealing with the federal government is they want predictable, reliable, and direct funding from the federal government, and that's always what they'll be referring to when they're working with the federal government to get funding for municipalities and get programs for municipalities, which they already do. And some of the things that FCM does for us, and this was put forward by Tom Taggart, did a presentation on, he's a councillor from Colchester County, did a presentation because he's a member of the FCM board. And it's about uniting local governments of all sizes, shaping the national agenda, defending municipal interests, connecting local leaders, and building local capacity. So they're calling on government to commit to building a rural lens into the heart of the federal government and bringing rural realities to the table. So we've talked about that a lot. Been talking about that a lot since Bernadette Jordan has taken over, given a new portfolio of rural communities and economic development. But some of the things they're talking about are broadband investments, streamlined funding tools, rural economic development, internet for all, the budget of 2019 asking for additional $1.7 billion for municipalities. National broadband strategy must include clear standards and timelines to achieve speed targets, long-term predictable funding, and affordable and accessible internet in rural communities matching big cities. So I think the takeaway from this is that seeing this, the federal input at the provincial level for NSFM is that, you know, across the country, the concerns of every municipality across the country are the concerns of municipalities, our municipality, municipalities across Nova Scotia. Some of the, they always have dual sessions where they put on three or four different sessions that have different interests for different municipalities to attend. One was on political and administrative dichotomy. I believe Councillor Frolic attended that one. All about policy and politics. Policy and politics are the domain of the elected officials, and the administration is domain of staff, and these have to exist in harmony for best decisions to be made. So that's sort of the gist of it, but if Councillor Frolic wants to elaborate on that. The Nova Scotia Asset Management and Floodline Mapping was another one, helping municipalities identify areas of concern and develop tools and resources to deal with them. So as a, these are just a lot of interest points for different municipalities, different councillors, mayors, wardens as such, attending different ones that they might want to get more information from. I happen to be going to the PBSC only because I chaired that session, and I think maybe the overall message from PBSC is they're establishing Nova Scotia as the industry leader in property assessment and machine learning, and I think that they're really trying to bring the digital age into the PBSC to get the most up-to-date important information about properties in Nova Scotia, because that's what assists most municipalities. It's the only way, the major way of raising money for municipalities through property taxation. So it's extremely important that we have up-to-date information and that it's fair. And I did notice in the report too that Region of Queens is on their list of one of the municipalities that they've, I don't want to say partner with, but a number of municipalities, which Region of Queens is one of them, that they work together with to try to refine their tools and refine how they collect that data and what data is important and what the issues are for municipalities in getting that information and then the whole taxation process. So very, very important. Another one was decluttering municipal government. Again, that was Jody Morgan from the CFIB, and basically their new regulation, their whole thing about decluttering municipal government is making sure that new regulations should be clear and well-defined, less red tape for small businesses, because he's there on behalf of the Canadian Federation of Small Business. Municipalities and First Nations were big on the agenda as well. There were lots of speakers on working together with Acadia First Nations, or sorry, working together with Mi'kmaq and Indigenous communities. E-voting, immigration, Amoresco was one of the ones on the final day that we talked about getting our municipalities ready for climate change. through help with infrastructure. So I found that really good, and I didn't make it to the end of that one because I had to go chair another session. But I didn't get the information on that. They're very important, I think, if somebody brought that back. You attended that one, didn't you, Mayor Dagley? On the last day for climate change, I must go. On the Friday.
I'm trying to think. I'll have to look to see what was concurrent at that time.
But I think the important one with that is that municipalities have the ability to get information, or sorry, not information, but there's a tool there where they will come and assist municipal staff in doing free evaluations of all of their infrastructure, their buildings, to look at adapting for climate change, becoming efficient running buildings, and that's a free service as well, so something we can get from that. The other one was it's free to belong to, and I brought that information back to the CAO, joint, what do you call it, buying strategy. There's a number of the company.
An umbrella group that has
Alberta.
Stronger ability to purchase at lower
yes.
prices.
And they just signed an agreement with NSFM. We are partners, and there's absolutely no cost, CAO, no costs whatsoever to the municipality. There actually are some benefits, and NSFM actually may benefit from us using that program as well. But, you know, things like they have an agreement with the National Tire Company, they have an agreement with Staples, so we just have to jump on the bandwagon, and if that works for us, then we can order from these companies that they have service agreements with, and there's a benefit. So I did find that there was a lot of takeaways from this NSFM that I hadn't seen before, to be able to bring back like real opportunities for our municipality to actually make a difference in here at home. And I did get the opportunity to talk to a few people as well, and find that the NSFM is a real opportunity for councillors to sort of, realign and find out and talk to other councillors and mayors and find out what's going on in other municipalities, and really understand that we do share a lot of the same issues and how other municipalities are dealing with them.
Great, thank you. And my question at this point is, do you have a written copy to provide to Christine at this point? Or?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have stuff written down if she wants some broad notes, but I don't. I lived a lot there.
And that's fine. So are there any councillors that may have a question of Deputy Mayor Kelly on this issue, this presentation?
Some ads too, some other things that we've all been through, because I was there part of it too. One thing they talked about was the growth in Halifax. They grew by 8,500 last year, which is a significant amount of growth, while the province itself grew by 8,000. So it shows you our declining rural community where there's a problem, but the city is growing. So it's just kind of interesting when you hear those things. And when they were talking about the internet, I had a chance to chat with a couple of fellows after, and they said, when they're making these applications with the internet, where's cell phones and cell towers and things? And I guess that's all part of the package of when they're looking at these items, that this will all come out in the same.
The grant programs that the Region of Queens participated in were not cell phone programs; they were internet delivery service programs.
Okay, but. The NSFM, they were looking at as looking at as a whole.
But the narrow focused grant application
right.
that the province through Development Nova Scotia put out
right.
was more centered on internet technology.
But I'm just saying they haven't forgot about it anyway. They know the cell towers are an issue. When I was into the flood mitigation and mapping, and it was interesting when they were talking about different places, and especially Annapolis, the fellow stood up from Annapolis and said, by 2050, Annapolis is supposed to be underwater. So we think of what we have for our issues downtown, which are small compared to other people who are in really dire needs of problems. And that's
So they said, what are we going to do about Natlas? What are we going to do about the causeway? What if you lose the causeway, but the water goes over the causeway with them, it's going to be make people cut off. So it is this really, we look at what we have, there's a lot of more major issues in the province that have to be addressed as they go forward with this. And I thought about even with the Colchester when they were talking about their solar program they have there, which they have, they can, people can borrow, I think up to 20,000 over 10 years and have, to pay back to try to make it more, I guess, efficient. So it said it's working very effectively. I don't know, I never had a chance to talk to anybody else about it, but it's just a different people were doing different things around the province and understanding what they're doing.
Thank you, Councillor Fancy. Councillor Frehley?
I just wanted to add as well, I attended that conference and so many great conversations, so too many at times because you can't get to everything, of course, but it certainly was filled with lots of information, lots of talk about climate change, so I was glad to see that made its way up. The one that I really enjoyed was the political administrative dichotomy, and they just talk about the difference between, council and what staff have to do, and, some of the key words were, to work in harmony, which is challenging at times, and but it also talked about how council can balance what the public expresses and what the staff advises. So it was a really good session. I think I was the only one that was there, but certainly lots of takeaways from that because it, kind of talked about the environment that, that every municipality faces and trying to please everybody and work with staff. So I think the, I don't think there's any other, Councillor Deputy Mayor Kelly covered a lot of them that we all attended. So, but it's great to have councillors there. I think it's the perfect place to kind of network and really get a better understanding of what other communities are facing and what they're doing it. So, I mean, they're really invaluable to kind of when you approach it and then the things that you bring back. So, I'm very happy to be able to attend again.
Thank you. And I'll add briefly to Deputy Mayor Kelly's presentation and Councillor Fancy and Councillor Frehley. At this convention, they did maintain the five resolutions. One of those is the cap removal, and they've been working on this for a number of years. I did raise the issue that if the province does proceed with the cap removal, there is a data collection requirement to ensure, as the province is indicating, they would not want any of that additional revenue through the cap removal over 13 years being retained by municipal units. So there would need to be some understanding and data to indicate the amount that's received and how it's transported back through the tax system to all taxpayers, especially those that would see increased amounts. We do not have that information in the region of Queens. My understanding from my questions of Property Valuation Services Corporation at the convention was that they don't have that data. And the dilemma becomes who's going to collect it, because if there's an expense to the region requiring more staff, et cetera, then that would likely exceed the amount of revenue gain in the region of Queens. So Property Valuation Services Corporation are now going to go back and look at that, and that will be an evolving issue as we go forward. On the issue of priority of resolutions, they have their five. They have indicated another five or seven that we voted upon in priority. So as one is completed, the priority item that's on the adjacent list will move up. Doctor recruitment and internet accessibility and improvement is not on those lists. So it's unfortunate that it hasn't become a priority at this point in time with NSFM. But we in the region of Queens certainly have applications in to develop Nova Scotia to improve internet service in North Queens at this point in time, and this one application that's patiently being awaited for a decision for the last 4 months. So when that comes through, we'll know where we stand, but It was, from my perspective, a worthwhile convention this year, and those of us that attended, I'm sure, brought away a number of other items which we haven't summarized today. So thank you, Deputy Mayor Kelly, for taking the lead on putting that report together. It's appreciated. Any other councillor have a question or comment on this issue? Deputy Mayor, Councillor McLeod?
The resolution that was resolved, which Deputy Mayor...
There were none resolved at this point. All those five are still
one
ones
resolved?
Carried from last year.
Pardon?
When
it's resolved. When is resolved.
So, Deputy Mayor, did you want to clarify?
I'll just add that on the NSFM website, all of the presentations or those that were submitted and all the speakers are listed now on the website if anybody wants to go read through the presentations.
Councilor Kerwin?
There was just one confusing thing for me, and Mayor Bolivar Getson brought it up, and that was about returning schools, municipalities. Has there been a change on that? Did you talk any further?
The issue with the municipality of the District of Lunenburg is the Riverport School. Apparently it has been neglected by the school system for so many years, and it has pollution issues. The municipality of District of Lunenburg is faced with $1 million cost to remedy the pollution issues, and they would prefer not to have that school transferred back to that municipality. It's my understanding that that's still a work in progress, but there is very likely a solution to that for the municipality of Lunenburg. In Queens, we've had a number of school buildings turned over to the region of Queens. We've managed to repurpose those, and I think we still have one left in North Queens, the school bus garage that we're looking at.
But I think the what I understood when I heard her speaking was that there's been a change at some level that they actually, you know, some answers to that we actually can turn that down now. Municipalities can
there
turn
is
down.
That discussion, and I'm not sure if that's completed, but Deputy
okay.
Mayor Kelly may have more information.
Well, just
on
to
that.
Say that the NSFM has a got a legal opinion on whether or not municipalities have to accept back those surplus schools, which indicates that they do not have to accept them back. So it does give some leverage, not that it's going to work, but it does give some leverage, and it gives another stepping stone for them to look at and investigate whether that's an option or not, or how they proceed with that. Because I believe not only that school, the municipality of Lunenburg has a number of schools in their district that would, in their municipality, that could possibly be surplus at some point, or that are surplus, or be any surplus. That's pretty much their biggest issue right now.
Any other comments or questions? CEO?
Just to clarify Councilor Frelick's point, District of Lunenburg has a different agreement than the rest of us.
Oh.
So the legislation is somewhat clear, and it says that once the school is no longer required for municipal purposes, the municipality may accept it back. And so there has been a case, at least one I know about in Queens, where we refused to take it back and the school board kept it. And so it does exist.
Okay.
There has been some legal mumble jumble between the province and some municipalities about the interpretation of May.
Yeah.
But the District of Lunenburg has a special agreement where their agreement said they are guaranteed they will get them back, because at the time when the under the old school board system, the agreement was they didn't want the option, they wanted to guarantee they would get those schools back. And so that's the problem District of Lunenburg had.
Voila.
That's the problem District of Lunenburg
has.
It's the former council back then said we want them back, there's no May, and so that's the predicament they're in, because they're forced to take them back. And that's what the new mayor is trying to get out of that.
Yeah.
But legally they signed a binding agreement that says no, we want them back, there's no May. So they have a special situation that doesn't exist that I'm aware of anywhere else in Nova Scotia.
I was just surprised that she didn't seem to be aware that they had the option to refuse them.
Well,
I don't think
that's
at
because
this point,
she doesn't.
Most of them do, except the Lunenburg guy.
No, I know, but you think you'd explore that possibility with any huge backstory there. Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you, CAO. Any other comments or questions? Councillor Johnson?
I just got one question. Councillor Fancy indicated some statistics that Halifax grew by 85 and the rural area declined by 8,000. Is that households, people?
I think they're just saying personnel. I think it was actually Halifax grew by 8,500, but we only grew by 8,000 as a whole, and so that means we declined by 500 across the.
Came from somewhere else.
So 500 individuals in the province have relocated from rural areas to Halifax.
Yeah.
No, that's what I was trying to get to. It's,
yeah,
it's
okay.
A migration, it's not a track.
Yeah.
No, it's internal. Yeah, within the province.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
No.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Deputy Mayor, for that. And moving on now to 13.2.